ask an interest in your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. I am interested in getting it right. How about you? Does anybody here like to make mistakes? Anybody here like to get a, when you were in school, to get a test back and just see that obviously you didn't get it? I want to get it right. I want to get it right, and that was my goal when I was in school. I wanted to get it right. I did not want to settle for imperfection. I didn't always get it right, but my goal was to get it right. There have been many things in life that my goal was to get it right, and sometimes I failed, but that was my purpose. That was my goal. Well, what is more important than academics and job performance this morning is your relationship with God. I think it's a fair question. Do you want to get it right in your relationship with the Lord? You want to get it right? Because there is a right way and there is a wrong way this morning. And I want to assess and evaluate my decisions and my choices and my intentions, but also my behaviors and my words and my actions. And I want to get it right. And if I'm not right, then I want the Lord allows mid-course corrections this morning. That means when we're going down a certain path and we assess where we're at and say, you know what, I'm not getting it right. The Lord is not there to cut us off this morning. Let's remember that. The Lord is not there to cut us off. He is there to draw us to Himself when we fail to get it right. But getting it right does not come easy. Think about school for a moment. It was not that I would just wake up one morning and think, oh, I've got an exam today. Go sit down at the exam and think, now, Lord, help me on this test. I want to get it right, Lord. I don't think the Lord really owes us to answer that kind of a prayer if we're not going to put effort into it. It's when we put effort into it. I'm going to study. I've got a test coming. I'm going to study for it. I'm going to do everything I can. And there may be some areas that I'm a little shaky on, but I put in my time and I'm going to do the best that I can to prepare for it. And then I get in that test, Lord, I really need your help. You know, that's the kind of prayer and that the Lord will honor because we have invested ourselves. It's one thing for us to come to service and say, well, I need the Lord to help me in this area of my life. I want the Lord to help me here. Because do all of us have needs this morning? Is there anybody that doesn't have any needs? If you don't, ask the person next to you, do I have any spiritual needs? We're all people, right? But it's going to have to go beyond even an acknowledgement that, Lord, I'm going to start applying myself to do what I can to get it right. Because it's more than what I say on Sunday. It's about... And I shared with you all last week, and I actually did preach this at La Ronda, a message entitled, Living It at Home. I want to get it right. And it's one thing to come to service and testify, it's something else to go home and live it, isn't it? But I want to get it right. And so then I want to begin to evaluate in our lives. So that's the essence and the foundation of the burden this morning. Getting it right. If you will turn with me to the book of Mark in the 10th chapter. Mark chapter 10. And we're going to save a little bit of time this morning. You know the story of the young rich ruler. Young man came to Jesus. And he said, good master. He said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Fair question, isn't it? What do I need to do? I want to go to heaven. Want to have eternal life, what do I need to do? And you'll find this account again in the 10th chapter of Mark. And Jesus looked on the young man and he said, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, and that is God." But he said, "You know the commandments." In other words, you know what you need to do to get it right. Do you know some things in your life that you need to do to get it right? Don't commit adultery. That's getting it right. Do not kill. Oh, I'm thankful I'm right. I haven't killed anybody. Don't steal. See, that's getting it right, isn't it? Lord, I want to follow you. What do I need to do here? He said, don't kill. Thou shalt not kill. Do not bear false witness. Don't lie. Okay, am I getting it right? I'm telling the truth now. That's part of getting it right. He said, defraud not. Don't cheat someone. Honor thy father and thy mother. And the young man said, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Lord, I want to get it right here. So what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? Because I don't want to get to the end and realize that I got it wrong. And Jesus looked on him, and beholding him, he loved him. Do you know the Lord loves you this morning? When the Lord tells us our needs, he's doing it in love. He's not just trying to tell us where we're wrong to make us feel bad. He loves us. And he said, one thing that thou lackest. In other words, if you will give me a little bit of leeway here with the scripture, if you want to get it right, there's one thing you need to do. You've done all these good things, but if you want to get it right, he said, go and sell all that thou hast and give to the poor. I don't know what the Lord is saying to you this morning, but the Lord probably would not have told me that as a young man. You know why? I didn't have anything. I mean, I've shared with y'all before, I still remember in my early ministry on Valentine's Day or anniversary. Was it Valentine's Day? I went from store to store to store trying to find something to buy for my wife. I had $5. That's all I had. All I had, and finally I found one little plant, and it was given with love. But that's all I had. So I don't think when I came to the Lord and said, Lord, I want to get it right, what I need, go sell all you have. I was like, yes, Lord, I don't have anything. There's no sacrifice there. So the point being is the Lord knows where we all are individually. Because it wasn't about the money here, because it says the young man went away sorrowful. Why? Because he had great possessions. The Lord Jesus knew that his love for his stuff was going to come in conflict with his love for Jesus Christ. And that's the reason Jesus said, go and sell all you have. So the Lord is going to tell you something different. But it's because he knows where your heart is this morning. He knows your attitudes. He knows where your affections are. And when we come and say, Lord, I want to get it right. Are we afraid to ask the Lord that? Is there any reason why we might not want to just come and say, Lord, what do I need to do? Do you know the reason if we have some trepidation to ask God that question, do you know the reason why? So can I just bring it home to where we live? Okay? We're not here again to play church. We're here to do business with God, right? I didn't come here to pat you on the back this morning. I want us to get to heaven. If you would be nervous about just saying, God, what do I need to do in my life to get it right? And that makes you really uncomfortable, I'll tell you the reason. You already know the answer. You already know the answer. Because it doesn't mean that you're perfect in every area, but when you are working on that and praying about that and your heart is right before God, you can say, Lord, I want to get it right. And I'm already praying about the things I know. And if the Lord shows me something else I don't know, it's like, Lord, I didn't see myself like that. Would you help me? Would you help me, Lord? Because I want to get it right. I want to be what you want me to be. And so Jesus looked on him and loved him. Do you know it's going to take more than good intentions this morning to make it to heaven? Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that what? He that doeth. But Lord, I'm sincere. Lord, I want to, what do I need to do? I'm keeping the commandments. And I can have a high testimony, high profession. Lord, look what I've sacrificed for you. And yet intentions aren't going to get us there. Not everyone that testifies or proclaims, it's he that does the will of God. And so I ask us this morning, am I getting it right? Are you getting it right in your life? Do you know, it may not be that you have arrived, but at least you know the destination. Lord, I know I'm not, I have some needs in my life, but I'm working on it. I'm seeking you for it. That's where I want to get. I know this is the right way, and that's where I'm headed, Lord. I'm not there yet. But that's my heart. And daily, Lord, that's where I'm wanting to be. The Lord gives us grace then to grow spiritually. We don't need to feel condemnation. It's, Lord, thank you for helping me. Thank you. I recognize, Lord, I need more love in my life or more joy, or I need to be more patient, or Lord, I'm too sharp with my tongue, or Lord, I have this need. I'm holding on to things too much when you're wanting me to give. Lord, help me today to do that, not just with my mouth, but actively pursue that. I want to get it right. Well, there was a story told of a woman that decided to make a pie for the congregational potluck dinner. So she'd made this pie so many times, and she didn't bother checking the recipe. She just hurried through it and threw in the ingredients from memory and put it in the oven. And when she pulled it out, it looked good. Job well done, so she thought. But when she cut into it, the filling was runny. Have you ever had a pie like that? Let's get it right. The filling was runny, the crust was tough, and she was embarrassed about it, so she kind of moved it off to the side and set it aside. So she got home that night, and she pulled out the recipe again and looked at the recipe, and she realized that I read this story, and I was like, well, I'm not sure about all this. I know I get some of it. She skipped the chilling step. I know you're supposed to chill your dough, at least people used to. I do remember that. So she had not chilled the dough like it was supposed to have been chilled. And she didn't measure out the thickener for the filling. So she wanted to get it right. So she remade the pie. And this time she followed the recipe. What she'd done over and over. And the second pie came out perfectly, and she was no longer ashamed to take it. And it was eaten the next time she took it. Well, folks, we can't live for God by just guessing. Haphazard. We cannot get it right this morning by just going off of a memory or a tradition. Do we get that? We're not going to get it right by just following a traditional lifestyle. The first pie had effort. There was effort put into it. It took time. It had effort put into it, but it wasn't the right process. The second pie was done in obedience to the recipe. And that's what our lives are going to have to be this morning. It's not just because we're putting effort into it. It needs to be the right effort. Just like when someone practices a musical instrument, how we've all heard practice makes perfect, correct? That is a very untrue statement. Practice does not make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. Because if you practice something and you do the wrong thing every single time, you are practicing the wrong note. You're hitting the wrong key every time. Perfect practice is when you hit the wrong key and you stop and think, okay, I hit the wrong key. I'm going to redo it more slowly, and I'm going to get the right key. And you go back when you have imperfections. That's perfect practice. You can practice doing the wrong thing, and it will get instilled and become natural to do the wrong thing. So, saints, we need to get back, if you're away from it, But we need to get back to the Word of God, not based on my past, not based on what I think I know, but I want to get back to the recipe and say, Lord, I want to get it right. I'm going to have to go beyond what Grandma and Grandpa said. I'm going to have to get beyond the testimonies I've had. I'm going to have to get beyond what I have given to the Lord. And I'm going to have to get back in the Word of God and say, Lord, I want to get it right because I want to hear those words at the end. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we need to get in the Word. The Scripture says in Hebrews, in the 12th chapter, in the 14th verse, says to follow peace with all men. Are you getting it right? And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Folks, if we do not live a holy life, we will not see the Lord because we're not getting it right. Holiness is purity. It's consistency. It's homogeneous, which means it's the same throughout. It's undefiled. That's holiness. That's getting it right. Well, Jesus gave us a number of examples, and some of these I will give a reference, but I'm going to just point out the reference, and then Jesus gave us examples of what it meant to get it right. Jesus said over in the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter, in the 24th verse, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, he said, I will liken him unto what? A wise man that buildeth his house upon a rock. And as you know the story, the rains came and what happened to that house? It stood firm, didn't it? But he also gave us an analogy of the foolish man who built his house on the sand. That was the man that heard the word of God and didn't do it. So now we've got a right way and a wrong way. They all heard the word, and one was obedient and one wasn't. Okay, so let me, in some congregations, and we haven't had this practice, don't be nervous. In some congregations, there's a practice. They do it over in Africa more. Sometimes it gets overdone. But they will say, turn to your neighbor. Now you're getting nervous. Turn to your neighbor and ask them a question. And so if we were to do that this morning, if you were to turn to your neighbor and say, are you getting it right? The one that hears the word of God and actually does it. Or are we hearers and just doing whatever we want? Well, you think about that. Are you getting it right? If you want, you can turn to your neighbor and ask them, are you getting it right? See, it's the first time you've ever done that. It's like, I'm not sure I want to go down that path. But I'll tell you what happens then if we didn't ask the question. Renee, are you getting it right? Now, she can think about that. But what if we change the question? Say, honey, am I getting it right? Now there might be a different response. Am I getting it right? What would they say if you looked at the person next to you and say, am I getting it right? Because they know how you're living. They know how you talk. They know how you behave behind closed doors. Am I getting it right? And we say, oh, don't ask that in public. Well, then the reason is because you already know the answer. Isn't that right? We already know how we're living. So are you getting it right? The wise man and the foolish man. We also find in the book of Matthew, and I found it very interesting because the Lord began giving me these examples, and so I wrote them down before I went and found the scriptures. So I was writing down these things, and then I thought, okay, I need to go find where this is at. And some of them I knew, but it was very interesting to me that three of the things that the Lord put on my heart were all found right together. It's like, oh, the Lord was way ahead of me. That's why he gave these examples. The 25th chapter of Matthew, in the 21st verse, therein he gives the parable of the talents. And one of them went and he used what he had been given. And as you know the story, some used what they had been given and some others went, one other went and he buried his talent in the ground. And when the master came back, his Lord said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many." And we find that the one that hid the talent in the ground lost what he had, didn't he? We've got two choices now. We've got a parallel, the right and the wrong. So, what are you doing with what God has entrusted you with this morning? Your time, your money, your abilities, are you getting it right? Do you have an answer to that? Are you getting it right? Jesus told us what it meant to get it right. The one that said, "Lord, I'm going to use this, and I'm going to use this for the cause of God." The gifts, the opportunities, the responsibility that God has given to me, I want to get it right. I want to be a good steward and use these things for His purpose. A little bit further, actually at the beginning of that chapter in Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 1, Jesus said, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins that took their lamp." And now he gave us a parallel of 5 wise and 5 foolish virgins. And I can just hear the question, are you getting it right? Where are you? Because see, the wise were the ones that took their lamp and they had oil in it. It was filled up with oil and the fire was burning. The foolish virgins were the ones that let the oil burn out. And they didn't have any oil left. And when the bridegroom came back, that's Jesus coming back, it was only the wise that were ready to go. And the 5 foolish heard the words, "The door is shut." It's too late. So then the question is, are you getting it right? What does that mean? The oil is representative of the Spirit of God. It's our passion, our love, the fire. Is the fire burning in your heart? Are you in love with the Lord this morning? Are you putting Him first? Is the Spirit of God using you and moving in your life? See, that's where it goes beyond when we come to service. It goes beyond what we are sacrificing for God. It comes down to my motivations and my purposes. That, Lord, I feel the fire of the Spirit in my heart. That's getting it right. I don't want to be one of the 5 foolish when the Lord comes back. And yeah, I'm going through some of the traditions and I still have my testimony, but there's nothing inside. That's nominal Christianity. And the door is going to be shut. Are you getting it right this morning? Ask yourself, am I getting it right? Well, you move on down in Matthew 25 a little bit further. In the 33rd verse, it says that he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. You see these parallels? The wise and the foolish, the one that's using their talents, the one that's not. And now he says the sheep and the goats. And the king would say unto them on his right hand, he said, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." See, those were the ones that were getting it right. Who were those people? They were the ones that were helping the poor. They were visiting those in jail. They were feeding the hungry. They were clothing the naked. Saints, you see, it's more than a profession. Faith without works is what? It's dead. We must be a people of works. We're not saved by them, but works come out or are one of the evidences of our faith in God. Are you getting it right? Or are you living to yourself? One other parallel that Jesus gave us in the 18th chapter of Luke, when there were 2 men that went in the temple to pray. Again, he juxtaposed these 2 men. One was a Pharisee and one was a publican. And the Pharisee prayed and he said, "Lord, oh, I'm so thankful. oh, thank you, God, that I'm not like this other man. I fast and I pray thrice in a day and I give of my goods and, oh, Lord, I'm just so thankful for, in essence, I'm so thankful I'm so holy. And the other man, the publican, went in and said he couldn't barely even lift up his eyes to heaven. And he smote on his breast and he said, Father, be merciful to me, a sinner. It was showing us the difference between pride and arrogancy and humility. Who got it right? It was the publican, wasn't it? That's the attitude the Lord is. That's getting it right, folks. Anytime pride and arrogancy comes into our lives, in our perspectives and how we relate with each other, I want us to know we're not getting it right. It doesn't matter what the issue is. Let's bring it down home a little bit. Because I've had this burden on my heart, living it at home. And I know I haven't preached that at home, but you should get the essence throughout messages. But if my interactions with my wife, maybe I'm right on an issue. Those of you that are married, if you ever had a difference of opinion, or really you just come to a place you really just don't understand the other's perspective, anybody ever been there? Maybe in your years of marriage, anybody ever found that? Once maybe, or more often, and you just don't understand, and you have a discussion. Do you realize that what goes way beyond the issue itself is the manner and the spirit in which that issue is addressed? Humility is getting it right. It doesn't mean that you can't have an opinion, but it means in how you talk to people, how you treat people, how you interact with people. I want to get it right. And I've got to say that as I look look through my life, folks, there are things I haven't always gotten right. But when your heart is right, you'll humble yourself and say, I'm sorry. Didn't get it right there. Please forgive me. And I'm asking the Lord to help me. Saints, I want to get it right. I want to get it right in obedience. I want to get it right in my service to others. I want to get it right in my attitudes. I want to get it right in having the right mode, in the correct motivations of heart. So it's not just the effort. It's the process, like that pie. I want to follow the recipe. So, if you all know what's right this morning, how are you doing? How are you doing? So again, if you looked at one another, person you're sitting next to, and said, are you getting it right? What would your answer be if you really answered that? What would your answer be? The Lord wants us to be able to say with a clear conscience, by God's grace, I'm working. I know there's some need, but I know what's right, and that's my goal and my purpose, and that's what I'm doing by the grace of God. Folks, let's get it right. I want to hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I'm so thankful there's grace to help us to get it right. Amen.